Good morning. Let's pause for prayer. God, in this space, I invite your presence. Pour out your Holy Spirit among us and give us ears to hear your message and then to apply. In your name we pray, amen. In the previous chapter of Matthew, chapter 10, Jesus had just finished summoning the 12 disciples and presented the mission to them. Instructions such as, proclaim the good news, the kingdom of God has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with skin diseases, cast out demons. So what Paul had just read in chapter 11, the camera, so to speak, changes the scene and turns to John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist in this setting of chapter 11 is behind prison bars, and he is bothered. He is bothered. And we might phrase John the Baptist's phrase like this, Jesus, why aren't you doing more? I am puzzled by this passage of Scripture. I find John's question rather heartbreaking. Heartbreaking because bold and outspoken John the Baptist, that's who we think we usually know of John the Baptist. Here, the one who first heralded Jesus the Messiah, the very one that baptized Jesus, now is questioning. Indeed, he's wanting to know, are you really the one we had hoped for, longed for? Are you the one? Or should we look for another? I'll tell you what, disciples, why don't you go and ask Jesus, are you the one? Now, there's a good reason for John's doubt. He's been imprisoned by King Herod, and his fate is uncertain at best. No doubt, as John paces around in his prison cell, he could only wonder about his ministry and mission. Is it in vain? Has it been worth it? In short, he's wondering whether he had been wrong to back the one called Jesus. David Luce is a Bible commentator. The former president of Lutheran Theological Seminary in Philadelphia writes, I suspect that John the Baptist had not only believed that Jesus was God's Messiah, but had imagined also the kind of Messiah that Jesus would be. It would be a Messiah who came in judgment. It would be a Messiah who would winnow the evildoers of the age and exalt the righteous. It was going to be a Messiah that would purify the nation and restore right worship. It would be a Messiah that would rescue Israel from its oppressors by casting out those Romans. And yet Jesus had done none of this. And the prospects of him doing so, it really seemed dim, unquote. And so that's the backdrop of these verses. So John the Baptist, he sends his emissaries, or his reporters, he sends them to ask the difficult question upon which so much hung. Jesus, are you the one? Or should we wait for another one? And in the next scene, we see Jesus, the camera now is on Jesus, and he says, go and tell John. Go and tell John the things which you see and hear. Jesus wanted to assure both John and his disciples that he was the Messiah, but he also reminded them that his power would be displayed in mostly humble acts of service, meeting individual needs, not in some spectacular way of political discussion or deliverance. So what followed was a list of things Jesus was doing: healing the blind, the lame, the sick, the leper, the deaf, and sharing good news with the poor. God is on the move, Jesus wanted to portray. God is on the move. And so we see illustrations all the way down through Scripture, and even today, we too may feel doubt creep in when the Messiah doesn't come through for us, or when the Messiah doesn't show up in a way we expected. when things seem to just go off the rails. And so, the setting is 1950. It was at the athletic park on the edge of Newton, Kansas, one Friday night, 74 years ago. Young couples had come together from the Pennsylvania Mennonite Church, they called it, in Heston, Kansas. They came together that Friday night in the park to share a vision of Mennonite Disaster Service, what it was going to be known. Now, some of the attendees had recently come back from doing alternative service in other parts of the U.S. They noticed natural disasters right around them in Kansas. They asked each other, well, how could God use us here and now? These young couples were asking each other, how could God use us here to make a difference? And out of that came the shared dream to reach out and with willing hands and hearts to help their neighbors during times of disaster to clean up, repair, and rebuild. That was the start of what we know, of course, of Mennonite Disaster Service. Now, there was this John Diller who became the first coordinator of this new and innovative relief and restoration effort. John was a dairy farmer, and he suffered a tragic accident, unfortunately, where the silo unloader actually fell on him and paralyzed him from his waist down. His dream of farming were dashed. Perhaps he, too, felt like John the Baptist, with his hopes dashed and his failed dreams. But God wasn't finished with him yet. From his makeshift office at home, John served like a dispatcher for the new organization, directing volunteers to places they were needed. Now, back in the 1950s, they didn't have a smartphone and the internet. You called up the operator, and I'm told that John Diller back then had 4 and 5 operators standing by as they were calling people to coordinate a disaster response. When I think about John Diller back then, I'm reminded of the scene again in Matthew 11. John sends his followers to Jesus with a question. Are you the one we're looking for? Jesus replied to them, go tell John what you have seen and heard. So even today, as the executive director of Mennonite Disaster Service, I'm grateful for John Diller and his important role in helping to create what became Mennonite Disaster Service. I wonder what it would be like if John Diller would send emissaries to right now to MDS and our congregations and saying, are you the MDS that we were dreaming of in 1950? I would reply like Jesus did to John's emissaries, go tell John. Go tell John Diller that MDS has grown to be 2 national organizations with regions assisting 50 units across Canada and the United States, all working to restore hope and homes for those impacted by disaster. Go tell John that today our vision is to strive to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those affected by disasters. Go tell John that even in the last 5 years, on an average of 5,800 volunteers have served more than 700 households a year. Volunteers dealt with major hurricanes, floods, fires, earthquakes, tornadoes throughout Canada and the U.S. Go tell John that locally, volunteers are responding to unusual events like the 2004 citrus freeze in California with family food boxes. Yes, even those kinds of disasters. By the way, a couple weeks ago, I heard a story that one of those recipients of the food box, a 14-year-old girl, was so impressed with this kind of relief aid to her family. She later grew up and became part of a local Mennonite MB church in California. And just a couple weeks, her and her husband were sent to South America as missionaries, all from a simple act, I like to think, of a food box. Go tell John. Or in the Oklahoma bombing of 1995, volunteers moved elderly residents out of a high-rise retirement community where the windows were blown out. Go tell John. go tell John that MDS helped to set up the nickel mines accountability group to assist the October 2006 nickel mine school shooting. At that time, over $4 million were received through MCC and Mennonite Disaster Service in contributions to that school shooting. MDS helped to facilitate this funding mechanism. And go tell John that he even might want to know that even though churches and conferences continue to separate, we still see the Amish and the Brethren in Christ and the Weaverland and the Groffdale and the MCUSAs and the Rosedale Network of Churches and on, the Weaverlands coming together as faith groups. They continue to work shoulder to shoulder, building houses together with MDS. Yes, go tell John that students in his home state of Kansas for a number of years at Heston College had this disaster management program that gave students a chance to learn about disaster response. That concept actually lives on, right, Paul? We've got Eastern Mennonite schools with trades, and now Rosedale Bible College is starting a program this fall with MDS. And the Mount Academy in the Bruderhof in the Catskills of New York. And we're having conversations with Bethany Schools in Goshen about working together, partnering with high school students in construction. MDS, yes, tell John that we work with students. Go tell John that MDS is building private access bridges, over 130 of them. So go tell John that even yesterday, I'm standing in the northwestern part of Charlotte in the heat with two news cameras at me, and they always say, state your name and spell your name, and I know how to do that. Then they say, can you tell me what happened behind you? Well, yeah, go tell John. Go tell John that in Iron City, North Carolina, volunteers came together and built one of our longest private access bridges that benefited 20 families on this private dirt road January 9th, nearly 6 months ago. Huge rain came and washed out their bridge, and these 20 plus families could not get home anymore. And so they walked through the mud, they put cars on both sides. Some couldn't get to the hospital, some back and forth. It was a disaster for these families. And so I received a call from the state senator saying, we hear the Mennonites build bridges in West Virginia. And we said, yes, where are you calling from? And so he described the situation, and I said, we'll send in a team. And so fortunately, our team from North Carolina went down and brought people together, and they built, thanks to Johann Zimmerman at Jay-Z Engineering. They said, but oh, there's one other thing. We want to make sure a 28-ton fire truck can cross this bridge. So now we said, oh, this is upping our game. What would we tell John? Well, fortunately, it came through. And yesterday, I wish you were with me. You should have been there when these 20-some families stood behind the ribbon and cut the ribbon and were able to drive across and back and forth. It was a time of celebration. Clayton Nichols is one of the homeowners. He says, when I cross this bridge every morning, it gives me a new sense of inspiration. Or actually, 2 weeks after the bridge washed out, one of their homes burnt and they couldn't get the fire trucks. Can you imagine if you can't get home today because your bridge is washed out and you don't have access? So again, for me, it was again, wonderment and appreciation of our volunteers that simply providing a bridge, people have life anew and is inspiring them. Yes, said even one other lady, we didn't know each other as neighbors in this 20-some family neighborhood on the other side of the bridge. Now we know each other. And they were there yesterday serving hamburgers and hot dogs, even homemade ice cream and all kinds of soda pop. Yes, tell John that MDS is still rebuilding hope. And one last thing to tell John Diller, please give him our gratitude. That farm accident that put him in a wheelchair had to be devastating, It was a personal disaster. But he took that disappointment and he turned it into a divine appointment and helped to start an incredible, incredible people's movement. God is on the move, brothers and sisters. Amen? God is on the move. And now, today, it's June the 30th. The camera turns on this community of Zion Mennonite Church. What would you tell John the Baptist emissaries? What would you tell the disciples to take back to him in prison? What would they see and hear? That's my challenge to us this morning, church. Where are we putting our faith into action? Ministering love and sharing hope with neighbors near and far. Well, I'll give a hint. This past March, at a work day here at the church, one Saturday, I was busy pressure washing. I had my headphones on because of the noise. I was busy pressure washing back and forth this sidewalk out there. And I paused for a moment and I looked up. I saw people on the roof. I saw people cleaning gutters. I looked around and there were folks, kids were peering out the windows with glee looking at us. Folks were raking, shoveling, mulching, planting. And I thought, if I was a visitor today, I'd make my decision right then and there. I'm coming to this church. I want to be a part of a church, this church, because it's a happening church, because God is on the move. God is on the move. So I wish I was there when you told John Diller, and I wish I was there when you told John the Baptist all of this. They just might raise their hands and to the skies and burst into song, "To God be the glory. To God be the glory." Amen.